Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Hate the most.
Probably be Mark James.
Fidel Goodell.
Phony Michelle.
Cha and Ching together.
Me, myself, and Irie Irving.
Which was regrettable.
The two things I heard
the
you say.
The only thing more regrettable be listening to you, but go ahead.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
You said you would never do a show with me.
Well, you know.
Now here you are.
I'm a team player.
Why can't you carry me?
I don't need you. I could do a better show.
Yeah.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Here's a flag as... Whoa! Hello. Whoa! Mason Rudolph got
Rudolph
into
needs
it.
To get out of there.
What in the world? Believe Miles Garrett? They're swinging
some,
a helmet?
Yeah, there'll be some ejection coming out of this.
There may be suspensions.
That's right, suspensions. Well, he tackled Rudolph. Rudolph didn't like the way that he was tackled.
Oh, my goodness. Rips the helmet off Rudolph's head and then eventually swings it and hits him in the head. And then Ogunjobi comes up and hits Rudolph from behind.
Beyond words,
oh,
Joe.
Oh, gosh. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
It's Saturday morning, WEEI 93.7 FM, and that means it's the Mark Inhart Show. And since we have a diva first name host on this show, he is not in studio with me right now. We will begin by talking about what the entire football world is talking about this morning and yesterday morning. Miles Garrett, defensive end, star defensive player, potential defensive player of the year candidate, right up until the point he chose to remove Mason Rudolph's helmet and use it as a weapon. He is now suspended indefinitely. Thankfully, Mason Rudolph and his representatives have decided not to press charges and take a legal route down a road that could have gotten very ugly. And I think we throw the term slippery slope around way too often in politics and in sports talk radio. But that would have been a truly slippery slope if you allow the authorities to start going through every NFL game and every action on a field and deciding whether it's, as Billy Madison said in the famous line, assault, brother. This is a case where it was right on the borderline of being assault and using a weapon, and certainly could have ended in a much more ugly situation. Mason Rudolph could have been seriously injured. He's just a couple weeks removed from a concussion issue, and thankfully the helmet that hit his head did so on the back rim, the padded back rim, which left Mason Rudolph just to throw his hands in the air and apparently look for a flag before he was then knocked to the ground. Marquise Pouncey has been suspended 3 games. The defensive lineman, number 65 for the Browns, whose name I would only butcher, so I won't. Ogunjobi. Oh, I did. Is also suspended a game for pushing Mason Rudolph to the ground. There will be fines. Both teams have been fined $250,000. It is an ugly, ugly situation that we have to deal with in the NFL. And quite frankly, a lot of the NFL's issues right now are the fact that they're in the midst of their 100th season. People are enjoying their 100th season, but they have a lot of off-field issues that are going around beyond today being day two of reaction to Miles Garrett's helmet-swinging assault on Mason Rudolph. It is also Colin Kaepernick workout day in Atlanta later this afternoon. We're up to 24 NFL teams expected to attend the workout of the former San Francisco 49ers, controversial quarterback who we all know took a knee during the national anthem, and now 2.5 years later is still trying to get back in the NFL. Well, later this afternoon, a bunch of likely low-level scouts, personnel people from the National Football League at this inconvenient point will be in Atlanta at the Falcons facility to watch him work out, to interview him, to measure him, run a 40, see if he's still as tall as he once was, which I'm sure he should be since he's not that old. But it's his route to get back in the National Football League. And if you believe the answer to the question, why this, why now, it's also the route for teams that may be interested in Colin Kaepernick to do a little due diligence without having to invite him to their facility for a traditional midweek Tuesday afternoon workout at their facility, which if some fans found out about, certainly they would threaten to boycott or there would be some negative backlash. But I have said all along, and again, this is Andy Hart, Mark and Hart show. The Hart part is here. The Mark part is not. And we are talking about the NFL to kick it off. And as I've said all along, I don't understand how, if you believe teams are fearful of working out Colin Kaepernick and therefore the league had to set up this unprecedented pro day, something that's never been done before, where they took a player and said, we're going to set up a pro day for you so all the NFL teams can come view you. If you're so fearful of bringing Colin Kaepernick to your facility, I think you'd have to be pretty damn fearful of putting Colin Kaepernick on your football team and signing him. So I still don't get why this, why now issue here. Colin Kaepernick wants a job. I understand that. It also feels like Colin Kaepernick is being set up like a you-know-what. He was not given the ability. He found out on Tuesday, basically, was given 2 hours to decide whether he would commit to the workout. Then he asked a lot of questions. Can we push it back? Can we do it at a different time? Who am I throwing to? And a lot of those questions were answered. Don't worry about it, basically. You'll be here. We're planning this. The league is going to videotape everything for Colin Kaepernick. For the teams that aren't there, it's going to be dispersed throughout the league, the video of the workout, the video of the interviews. But we don't know exactly who he's throwing to because, you know, I don't think you need to be a real astute football fan to realize that Saturday afternoon in the middle of the season, not a lot of guys available. NFL players are, I don't know, getting ready for their Sunday games. NFL coaches and GMs getting ready for their Sunday games. College players, college scouts, college players are playing. College scouts are scouting. High school players, they may be playing. High school players may be recovering from a Friday night game. So you could be looking at some really interesting bodies that he is throwing to. But Colin Kaepernick is a black guy in the NFL right now. Myles Garrett, a black guy in the NFL. And hey, all good things come in threes. Antonio Brown met with the National Football League on Thursday. Reportedly, it was an 8-hour interview for him back to the civil lawsuit and the allegations of sexual assault and rape against him. He's obviously been a free agent since the Patriots cut him in week 3. He wants to get back in the league and he wanted some clarity on what his status was moving forward. And he is now waiting for the reaction, I guess, from the National Football League to an 8-hour meeting and interview in which he apparently, reportedly, certainly seems to come from his camp, but Josina Anderson said he answered all the questions. He was happy with the way it went. He was happy with the answers he had in the discussion, but we'll see if the NFL and Lisa Friel and her investigators are happy with the answers and where that goes. And there's also been reports that the issue could be revisited. They could be back in contact with Antonio Brown. So I guess we have the question of three star NFL players. You have a quarterback who once led his team to a Super Bowl, multiple NFC title games. Colin Kaepernick, been out of the league 2.5 years. When does he get back in the league, if ever? Myles Garrett committed what some believe was assault on an opposing quarterback in a rivalry game in that AFC North, which always seems like some of those games come away with interesting issues that are stemming from the competitive nature on the field and violence. But Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely. When does he get back on the football field? And indefinitely, yes, that means indefinitely. It means there is no guarantee he will be back on the field come next September and opening day. I'm of the belief that there is a chance that just to really send a message, not only does he finish this season suspended, but that he gets at least a couple games to open next year to really emphasize the importance of what he did and sort of dissuade any other crazy player who loses his cool. And it wasn't an accident, as Myles Garrett first called it. Hey, I think we have another host on the Mark and Hart show, and the guy whose first name, his name is first on the show, may actually be joining us as I went through my long-winded late-night diatribe monologue.
That was a good Mark James impression.
Especially on the fly when I had no idea I was doing it because I didn't know my host wasn't here. Where the hell are you?
I'm at Entercom Springfield, inside the Basketball Hall of Fame. So I'm good to finally that we're actually connected. And yes, it's good. No, good stuff, man. I heard just about everything you just said. And you know, it's weird, Andy. I went on the air like the game was because I was timing this. So the game was supposed to end Thursday night at 11:40 p.m. And then the whole Myles Garrett thing went down. And I was, you know, so I'm waiting. I'm like, you know, this thing's gonna go. And it didn't end up ending until 11:48 p.m. And I'm watching this right before my very eyes, and I'm saying, this, nowhere, not the severity, but this is going to be the NFL's version of Malice at the Palace. And it sort of turned into that. And I'm like, this is now transcended the world of sports, and this is now going to be on CNBC, MSNBC, CNN, ABC World News, NBC World News, and it really has gone that level. When you saw it for the first time, and I'm like, wow, did that just happen? Like, you couldn't believe what was going on. Now, let's go back to the part where he actually rips the helmet off of Mason Rudolph's head. That's enough to give him a stinger, and certainly not something that I would recommend, you know, your doctor would recommend. But then he went above and beyond the call, and then when he swung his helmet. And one of the things I found interesting, because I was getting calls from lawyers, and, you know, I tweeted out from my account, Mark James, M-A-R-C James, I said, he should be arrested for felony assault, Myles Garrett, with a deadly weapon. And so the lawyers come at me with, well, it wasn't a deadly weapon, it was a dangerous weapon. And I'm like, don't semantics me, don't legalese me. Like, the bottom
line...
What's
the difference? Because I firmly believe... Had the crown of the helmet hit Mason Rudolph in the temple, he could have killed him. So wouldn't that make it a deadly weapon if he could have killed him with it?
Yes! Yes!
Now, I think you're idiotic to think he should have been arrested, and we can get off to a nice argument here. That's ridiculous. But it's a deadly weapon.
Wait a second. Why shouldn't he have been arrested?
Because you do not want the authorities in sports. That the reality is there's a lot of things that take place on a sheet of ice or on a playing field or a court that are breaking laws elsewhere, that are assaults. That is just the reality. And he crossed the line. You do not want the authorities viewing all 16 games each week and deciding, oh, in the third quarter, that guy committed assault. That's battery, you know, misdemeanor. He's got to appear in court. Are we freaking kidding?
That's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
Once you open that door, you're not closing it.
And valid point, but I understand that. But what I'm saying is that this was something that sort of went beyond. And you just said it yourself, that if the crown of the helmet connected with Mason Rudolph, I mean, you're talking that a guy, who knows what could have happened to this guy? I mean, he could have really done damage. Now, thankfully, that it didn't. And he just was like, hey, he was looking at the refs as soon as he got hit. It's almost like he no-sold it, to use a wrestling term.
Off looking poorly in my eyes, too, by the way. I thought that was a very weird reaction.
The whole incident was ugly. The one guy that I thought got the rawest deal on this whole thing was Pouncey. He was just sticking up for his quarterback. I didn't think he should have gotten suspended for three games.
Well, but you can't kick. You can't allow kicking like that on an NFL field. It becomes a precedent where now people say, wait a minute, he was kicking the guy in the head that was on the ground. Well, I don't care what he was doing it for, protecting who, whatever the means, you know, justifying, whatever.
Here's the one thing that I have to just reiterate. That this is the reason why it went beyond football. Like listen, guys go get in fights and everything. Like, first of all, Mason Rudolph was defenseless. He didn't even have a helmet on. You didn't need to swing his helmet at him. You could have just swung your hands, and then this isn't even a situation. It's like, oh, okay, it was a football brawl.
Right.
When you swung your helmet, it becomes domestic. It becomes domestic.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't care for it. It's also not the first time we've seen it. Now, I agree with you. But the problem is, clearly Myles Garrett snapped in a normal fight.
He
takes the helmet off, throws it to the side, and then punches him. That's fine, right? You're going to get suspended. You might get 3 games, 4 games, whatever, football fight. And then I think there would be a little bit more credence put in Mason Rudolph kind of started it on the ground where he's screwing with Myles Garrett after the hit. He's pulling on his helmet. Now, there were some accusations that he was trying to poke Myles Garrett in the eye, or he's trying to knee him in the nuts or whatever there. Mm. Then all of that becomes in play. But as soon as he, reaches over his head and just comes down like one of those old finishing moves in Mortal Kombat, that's when you've crossed a line where this is no longer just normal football. But it didn't cross a line to the point where It's the last Boy Scout where he pulls out a gun and shoots a guy on the field.
Well, that's
murder. Yeah, I need the police to be involved here. This is something, and I think in some ways, that's why the NFL reacted so swiftly. They wanted to make sure, no, we don't need lawyers and investigators and the authorities in this. We'll take care of this. He's suspended indefinitely.
Well, they did the right thing. They suspended the rest of the regular season.
Well, it was obvious, too, right?
I mean, no doubt. First of all, like, you do remember 15 years ago, right around this time of the year, too, I want to add, maybe beginning of December, November, when a cut. Now, granted, this was the lowest moment in NBA history when a cup full of beer or soda hits Ron Artest in the face while he's just laying on the scorer's bench, and then he goes into the stands. I mean, that had to do with fans, which is
right.
Like that's the worst nightmare in the history of any commissioner. So this didn't have anything to do with fans. I just look at this, and you try to look at it so many different things. It felt where, like, Myles Garrett, and he did. He lost it. He absolutely lost it, and that's why I felt as though the law should sort of enter. Now, granted, where was the game? Cleveland. So I don't think the district attorney, who obviously wants to run for re-election, is going to gain any popularity or any votes by suspending the best defensive player on the Browns. Or excuse me, not suspending, charging him or indicting him with assault charges. You're not going to gain any popularity in that. So, but I'm telling you, if this was in Pittsburgh, it would have been a different story. I wouldn't doubt if the DA would be looking into charges. This is just one of those things where, and how about the thing with the NFL too? What's been the biggest thing over the course of the last decade that you've seen that the NFL is trying to get away from? Concussions. Is that not the ultimate? Like, you talk about somebody getting concussed by swinging a helmet at someone who doesn't have any protection. If that's not, well, this is how you get a concussion, I don't know what is. Now, I haven't heard anything about Mason Rudolph being, you know, in a situation where he's concussed or anything. But I felt as though the first thing that they should do, and I'm sure the doctors there in Cleveland, especially the Steelers team doctors, did everything they could to make sure that maybe they ran some concussion tests. And I want to make sure he was okay. But and here's another thing, too. I got to state this because, Hart, you know more than anything what ultimately is kind of going to get brought up here. Let's just state the pink elephant in the room, the race card. You have a black athlete swinging a helmet at a defenseless white athlete. Now, you can sort of tell, and I guess Charles Woodson had some poignant comments, and he was sort of sticking up for Myles Garrett and this, that, and the other. If you bring race into this, if you just open up and race becomes a factor, then guess what? Your opinion is invalid. It is null and void. I don't want to hear about race. I can tell you this, though. If that was J.J. Watt swinging at Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson, J.J. Watt at Lamar Jackson, there would be the FBI and CIA involved.
Well, yeah, and I think more than race, I don't know, like, if this were Tom Brady, like, if the race is the same, it would be a much bigger deal, correct? If it's not Mason Rudolph the second year trying to find himself quarterback, who, I agree with Rich Keefe, I did Dale and Keefe yesterday, has a punchable face. He just looks like a guy you want to punch in the face.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I would argue that his reaction to getting hit in the head and turning to the officials like he's looking for an illegal contact downfield.
Well,
what are we doing here?
Yeah, imagine where someone just, you know, rips the helmet off your head. And, like, I can't imagine. I'm sure that's, you know, he's suffering from a stinger or some sort of residual effects from that as it is. And then he's looking at the rest for penalty. Do you know why Mason Rudolph, if there's any reason why Mason Rudolph should have been suspended, can I tell you who he should have been suspended by? The Pittsburgh Steelers. You know why? For throwing four picks. For throwing four interceptions because he was horrible and garbage. And the amazing thing about that game is that, number one, he gets off the hook for having, like, one of the worst games for any quarterback this year. He was pathetic, but no one's talking about it. No one's even talking about how the Browns have now won two in a row. They win a division game at home. They looked really good in doing so.
And they lost their best player for the season.
Yeah.
See, that's
the
problem. You have a defensive player of the year candidate, and I don't know if he gets enough credit, but anyone who's watched him play, the things he can do in terms of athleticism, strength, power, beat you with speed rush. Oh, nope, this time I'm going to bull rush you, and you're going to be sitting on your own quarterback's face because I'm going to have you on roller skates. Myles Garrett is a phenomenal football player, and we can get into it later. There's different audio. Off the field, there was this big E60 piece, how he's into poetry and reading, and he's sort of this different kind of character, which I think a lot of people came to his defense. You know, Josina Anderson immediately talked about how this is out of character for him. And she said, you know, Mason Rudolph must have said something to set him off, which I think is going down the road. A lot of people took that as maybe a racist term slur or something. But as I said yesterday, it could be anything. Could have been, you know, a homophobic slur. Remember the old Robbie Alomar story? There were always thoughts that that's what that had to do with. And people get set off for various reasons, but the reality is the Cleveland Browns were just picking up some momentum. And the funny part is, you know who I give a lot of credit to? The crazy guys on the Cleveland Browns. The sane guy who's into poetry and supposed to be the leader of their franchise lost his cool and lost his season because he beat a guy with a helmet. The crazy guys named Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham had perfectly professional comments. I mean, minutes after it happened, Baker Mayfield goes, you know, that's unacceptable. He's obviously going to be suspended for that. This is Baker Mayfield. He's a whack job. Well, and suddenly he's the voice of reason on that team.
Which tells you, and hey, you and I, like, we haven't even brought up, and Eamon, I know you got some of this sound ready, Freddie Kitchens. And what kind of buffoon. And I'll have to tell you this, because Freddie Kitchens is, we all know, I mean, how many games left? Seven? Or six for them? That he's on his last six games, that they will have a new coach next year, whether it's Lincoln Riley, Urban Meyer. I don't know who it's going to be, but it's Mike McCarthy.
Josh McDaniels.
You're right. They will have a new coach next year. But conversely, I watched Mike Tomlin's press conference and was listening to the sound live. I have to tell you, not a Mike Tomlin fan. I think he's done an unbelievable job. I think this is one of his best coaching jobs. For a guy that I always felt as though has been very overrated, for him to show the constraint and sort of the discipline and willpower at that post-game press conference, and he was asked about this incident numerous times. Now, you have to remember, this is coming off this game where your tensions are obviously running high, emotions are out of control, and he's like, I'm not going to answer those questions. He really was able to play the part, very diplomatic, but you could see and tell how mad he was for his quarterback and exactly what happened. But Freddie Kitchens, and Eamon, if you got that sound, please cue it up. Listen to this idiot.
Freddie, there were a couple of helmet hits too, another ejection. Do you think there's a systemic problem on your team?
I don't know. What do you, like, I'm not smart enough to understand what you said, so tell me what you want to, I mean, just ask me point blank what you're asking.
You think the team's out of control?
No. I think people get helmet-to-helmet contacts every week. I think Miles wishes he had used better composure with 5 seconds to go in the game.
Better composure.
Better composure.
Yeah.
He beat a man with a helmet.
Right, right. And again, if he connects with the crown and the helmet,
yep.
See, that's the reason why, I see what you're saying. You don't want to open up the Pandora's box that could lead to so many other. This was different. This,
I'm not smart enough to understand what you said.
Yeah, you definitely are. That University of Alabama education certainly did not come in. How is this guy a head coach? I mean, we all know that, listen, Chad Gase is going to be fired. According to the Jets, he's actually going to be back next year, which is great news for the rest of the AFC East. But even though I highly doubt that they should bring him back. But this guy, Freddie Kitchens, is like, he was never even a coordinator. He was a coordinator for like a week.
Yep.
But he never called the games. How this guy is a head coach.
Late season run with Mayfield, and they wanted to keep the band together. That's all it was.
I think people get helmet-to-helmet contacts every week.
Helmet-to-helmet contacts for somebody who flagrantly and egregiously ripped off the other guy's helmet and swung it at him.
Well, to be fair to him, I think he was talking more about like the juju hit where he got sandwiched between two helmets and then the other guy that got ejected later on the receiver, but he's not prepared. He just isn't prepared to lead a football team, whether it's behind closed doors as a leader of men, where we already earlier in this game, you had Baker Mayfield. Apparently he had told the production meeting to Aaron Andrews and the other guys, you know, Aikman, that quote, you know, Beginning of the year, I just thought, you know, I have Odell and Landry and we'll just, you know, go with the playmakers. Now I realize I need to start worrying about some of the details. Well, that's not just on the quarterback. That's on the head coach. You had a quarterback who was just basically playing Madden. I'm just going to chuck it to Odell because I have good talent. I'm not going to worry about the details of being a good football team. He is not capable of leading men in the locker room, and he's not capable of leading what we say it all the time. These are billion-dollar organizations. He's the face. He's the CEO. He's the guy that does what is essentially their earnings call every freaking week, and he's just ill-suited. And I say it all the time, the Peter principle. You ascend to a role upon which you fail, and he has ascended to that role, and boy, is he failing, and it'll be somebody else's opportunity in the very near future.
Yeah, and like I said, the one thing that nobody's talking about right now, which is sort of weird, is that the Cleveland Browns won the game. And they've won two in a row, and they haven't turned their season around, but they won two in a row, which is a team that looked like they were all for dead, which, you know, I mean, realistically, they probably are. They're not going to make the playoffs, but at least now they have some sort of glimmer of hope. Nobody's talking about that right now. Nobody's talking about, you know, Baker Mayfield and the fact that they beat a division rival at home. Everyone's talking about this. This has become one of those stories where, like I said, no fans were involved, thankfully for that. But this felt like the NFL's Malice at the Palace incident. And I remember watching that live as it transpired. And I'm just like, oh, boy. And you knew at that point. And, oh, did you ever see the documentary on Ron Artest? Did you on Showtime?
Yes, I think I did.
How about the did you see the thing with Steven Jackson, his former teammate, and Ron Artest? They're in the locker room afterwards, and it's quiet. So it's him, Steven Jackson, and really, you know, all the Pacer players who are there, and they're all kind of quiet. He turns to Steven Jackson, and he said, "Do you think we're going to get in trouble for this?"
I did see that.
Now Artest has jumped over the scorer's table and is trying to get down to the bench.
Yeah. See, the good thing about that, it stayed within the field, and we can have the debate moving on in the hour, and fans can get involved, but to me, this isn't all that different than the guy charging the mound who throws his helmet, his batting helmet, at the pitcher. Now, I don't know that I've ever actually seen it connect in a violent way, because it's probably hard to do.
If it hits him in the side of the head and he drops, is that assault?
Does that guy go to jail?
It's not the same, because first of all, look at the proximity where he was within a foot of him and he swung it right at him. You're not throwing it at him.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does matter.
You want to bring outside of sports rules to inside of sports. If I walk up to you in a bar and throw a helmet at you, I'm in trouble. Or whether I beat you with it. If you want me to get a little closer and I beat you over the head with it, either way, I'm in trouble in the eyes of the law.
Okay, fair enough. Well, listen, and that's why I think Myles Garrett should be in trouble.
No, he shouldn't, and we'll get to it in the next segment.
In the eyes of the law. All right, 617-779-7937. Off to a rousing start, but now it's time for trending.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Oh, the Patriots and Eagles. Yes, the Pats have a game tomorrow after their bye last weekend. Notable Eagles injuries. Alshon Jeffrey, Nigel Bradham have been declared out. Starting running back Jordan Howard is questionable.
That's the biggest one. This game could hinge on that injury, because you know teams are going to try to run on the New England Patriots after the performance they put up against the Ravens. And I think there's a chance he doesn't play. NFL Network reported he hadn't been cleared for contact yet. And then they go out and they sign Jay Ajayi. That's not in relation to Darren Sproles. That's in relation to they may need a lead back for this game who knows the offense, because they're worried about Howard.
Well, we mentioned before, Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely after his altercation with Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph on Thursday Night Football. Marquise Pouncey was handed a 3-game suspension for his involvement in the brawl. Good news last night for the Bees and the Seas. The Bruins get 2 goals from Brad Marchand in the third period last night, ending their 4-game losing streak. They beat the Maple Leafs in Toronto 4-2. Back at home tonight, no rest for the Wicked, against Alex Ovechkin and the Capitals, 7 o'clock at TD Garden. Celtics won their 10th straight. And I, you know what? There was a point last night, and I wasn't going to watch a game because I was like, long day yesterday, and then I couldn't sleep from about 12:15 on. I watched the entire fourth quarter. The Celtics were down by 5 with about a minute and a half or 2 minutes to go, they closed the game on a 13-3 run led by Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker.
That's a big win. Golden State Warriors, one of the greatest teams of all time. Oh, wait, I'm being told they're no longer one of the greatest teams of all time.
Well, how about this? You don't ever say this before you say the Golden State Warriors for the last 6 years? The worst team in the NBA. No, statistically, they're 2-11. The Celtics, they've won 10 in a row. They're 10-1, and they'll be back in action Monday night in that cowtown Sacramento. I call it excremento, taking on the Kings, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. We'll get your phone calls next on Mark and Hart.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're right back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Yeah, I mean, I got sacked once again. It, you know, he had some words and kept on keeping on, and one thing led to another. So, but you can watch the tape, go back and check it out, and make your own assumptions. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty cowardly, kind of pretty bush league, which, you know, there's plenty of tape out there to watch. I haven't seen it replay, but yes, I really haven't seen it anything like that yet.
How do you feel?
I'm fine. I'm good. Good to go.
Are you concerned that that's going to be a reputation after the match?
I don't know. We're back at the film. You sound a dirty player, then that's your opinion. No, I have my own, and I just can't fall into those kind of traps. A win's a win. I don't think it's overshadowed by and what happens in 8 seconds. You know, play a hell of a game on defense. Offense came out firing, and we held it down from there on. And what we did on the field of play for the rest of that game, for the first 59 minutes, that shouldn't go unnoticed.
Wow. Well, guess what? It has been overshadowed. Those 8 seconds did mar everything that you guys accomplished because no one's talking about it anymore. This is Mark and Hart on WEI. The number to get in, 617-779-7937. Hart, a little extra added incentive to that meaning behind playing this song. CM Punk has returned to the WWE as a commentator for now on WWE Backstage. So he's back in the fold. Working for the great Vince McMahon. So there's that on a side note. Now, back to the business at hand and the number 617-779-7937 that Myles Garrett, I don't think he realized the magnitude and severity of what had just transpired in his post-game press conference. And obviously now I would probably surmise that he has, because, dude, you just lost six checks. Like, you basically, okay, how many games is in an NFL? 16? Here was the one funny thing, too, about the NFL. Oh, he's suspended for the playoffs. The Browns aren't making the playoffs, so don't worry about that.
Maybe they're making a run.
But it was sort of like, probably not. But imagine that. Imagine that a third of your season that, like, you are not going to get paid for.
Well, I don't even know if you followed this, because you probably don't, but there's another agent who is actually, and this is an obvious side note, but is now using this as a recruiting tool, because apparently Myles Garrett's contract is structured in such a way that the bulk of his money is salary and comes in game checks rather than other people that were drafted high. Bradley Chubb, I think, was an example. You know, top five type picks get bonus, had their contract structured. So a lot of it was like a March roster bonus, and therefore their salary is low. For reasons like this is one example. They already have their money. Now they're losing, you know, $50,000 a game instead of $280,000 a game. And Garrett's contract is not set up that way. He's losing more money than he should have.
Which is crazy, which is obviously, but I think, especially when you're the number one overall pick and a guy who he's delivered. I mean, this guy is worthy of being the number one overall pick. He wasn't a bust like Courtney Brown, or I'm going to go old school here on you, Andre Bruce. Remember that dude?
Oh, yeah. Falcons, yeah. Right?
What's that?
Falcons, right?
Falcons, yeah, right. Out of Auburn. Like, a guy who, I mean, it was like the whole thing, like the old saying.
There couldn't be a really impressive feminine pass rusher out there. Maybe Jane's really good.
There could. Well, then again, these days.
You're generalizing.
Yeah. Well, when you say the phrase "you people" now, I guess that's sort of, you know.
See, I got to get rid of that, because I say that, and I don't say it in a racist way.
No,
like sometimes, you know, a caller will call up, a Patriots fan. I'll say, "You people make me so angry with your, you know, whatever." But in this day and age, it's probably better to just stay away.
Well,
from that.
Here's the thing:
we're losing the value of words. We're not allowed to use certain words anymore.
Well, yeah, free speech is dead. Hey, Eamon, even though we're obviously getting into this, I want to get to one thing, though. First and foremost, I was absolutely privileged to be a part of the Christian Fourier 25 for 25 marathon, which actually ended up being 25 for 100, thanks to all the kind and generous and hospitable people who donated over $100,000 to help raise awareness for diabetes and be part of that for at least a couple hours. But one of the things that when you look at this, they had on Thursday, before, while Christian was doing his 25th hour, they had on the greatest defenseman, if not the greatest hockey player of all time, number 4, Bobby Orr, on OMF. And Bobby Orr was actually asked about his former coach of the Bruins, Don Cherry. And he basically, you know, because Don Cherry and a lot of people are, this is a guy who had been there for over 40 years and a guy who had basically been the face of hockey. What Dick Vitale is to college basketball, that was right. What Don Cherry is to hockey.
John Madden, he's that type of individual, coach, right. Everything.
And prior to, you know, the late, great Craig Sager with his suits, Don Cherry did this a long time ago, way before Craig Sager. And here's what number 4 had to say about his former coach.
First off, I mean, I'm not going to get in a long thing here about Graves. I know Graves better than anybody. He's not a bigot, and he's not a racist. You got Glenn, you know him.
I do.
This guy is the most generous, caring guy that I know. And what they've done to him up there is just disgraceful. It really is. It's a new world, I guess. The freedom of speech doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, I just want to say this. I want to thank Bobby Orr for being the unsilent majority of people who also feel that is disgraceful what happened to Don Cherry. I will certainly be part of that club, and I just can't believe that a guy who had been the heart and soul of Sportsnet for over 4 decades And I hate to see careers ended ignominiously, kind of like Jimmy the Greek did when they got him when he had a couple drinks at some bar in D.C. one night and said some things that obviously. But the one thing about what Don Cherry did, he didn't say anything racist. Right. He just said he said you be, and he and at first I thought too, I'm like, well, you can't, but he wasn't referring, he was just referring to people who come and move into Canada. He was saying you people, and kudos to Don Cherry for being real, and albeit, I mean, he's 85 years old, and you know, but this is what he loved to do, and he was great at doing it. Still at 85, his fastball was still better than anybody else. But unlike his co-host, who sat there and nodded his head up and down and agreed with them, and then gave the fake apology to keep his job like you know, a total weasel and a snake. And I want to just thank Bobby Orr for being Boston. I want to thank Bobby Orr for saying what everybody is thinking. And thank Bobby Orr for being Bobby Orr, because that better words could not have been spoken. And then that quote went viral. So if you want to chime in on that as well, feel free to do so, because I wanted to get to that. I felt as though this was sort of a nice little, we can get to that in the Myles Garrett stuff as well. It's 617-779-7937. The one thing also that Bobby Orr said, which I love, is that, yeah, freedom of speech. And I've said too, for better part of the last 5 years or so, it's dead. There is no freedom of speech anymore. That does not exist.
Freedom of speech doesn't matter.
No.
Well, the issue you get into is it's all business. It's not about a country or a government restricting your freedom of speech. It's economics. It's who do you work for? What does that company allow? What do their customers, clients, whatever, where do they go in terms of political and PC views? And it's bottom line. Now, there's some people that thought this was Don Cherry's last year. They kind of wanted him out anyway. I think there had even been talks in past years that it was time to move on from him. So I wonder if this was also just an opportunity to get
out.
It's unfortunate. It is unfortunate. Yeah. And I personally believe this is a scenario where you hear him say what he said, you people, and within the confines of the rest of it in Remembrance Day, and I think you hear what you want to hear. I think if you are of a certain belief that, you know, you people is always racist, then you heard him sound like a bigot and say something racist. If you don't, if you're a little more freedom of speech minded, and, well, he didn't really say anything. He kind of stumbled and bumbled his words. It was little short phrases that, quite frankly, didn't even connect. And he even said that. I don't know if you watched the, he did like a 15-minute sit-down.
With Tucker Carlson.
No. This was a Canadian, some woman on a Canadian broadcasting channel. And he did a long sit-down, and he admitted he kind of bumbled his words, and he wished he had just said everybody should wear them, basically. Yeah. You know, boil it down in simpler language. Everybody should wear them. You're in this country. You enjoy the benefits of this country. Support the men and women. I was at an event last night, a high school football game, where they dedicated a memorial to the fallen soldiers from our town. And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about, and you know, the speaker, who's actually a friend of mine, a current reserve soldier, you know, quoted that there's a poem that says it's not the reporter who gives you the freedom of speech or the freedom of press. It's not the politician who gives you the freedom to vote. It's the soldier who puts his life on the line and many times gives his life so that you have all these things. And I feel like that's all Don Cherry was talking about. Just whether you even believe it or not, show a little support with the poppies in Canada.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what he was saying. But you heard what you wanted to hear, in my opinion, when you hear that. Your biased view.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know where I think, and we'll get to the phone calls on the other side, we promise. You know where I think, though, just for me, and nobody else thought of this, you obviously remember the Don Imus thing, right, with the Rutgers women's basketball team? Well, when he gave his apology and he brought them in and he had these women come on the broadcast, and I guess they were giving him some flack and resistance, and I'll never forget, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, like, what is it like, I can't do enough to you know, apologize with you people. That was racist. So even as an apology, which came off as completely insincere and disingenuous, that was so, it's like, dude, okay, now you're really gone. Like, if you weren't gone before, now you're really, like, because that to me was, I don't feel as though, and obviously neither did Bobby or neither did you, is that Don Cherry, there's not a racist or bigoted bone in his body. And
I don't know that. I don't want to make that assumption either. I don't know him.
Well no, but Bob Ewart does.
No. But again, that's a friend. That's a person who's had a relationship with. All I am saying is the thing he was fired for, I can interpret myself. Just the words. The actual words that he expressed, to me, I don't think he did anything wrong. I don't think he should have been fired. For all I know, he is a massive racist. I don't know him. Okay, I don't know his history. I don't know his inner thoughts and his views.
Okay,
but all my point is, he was fired for something that, to me, was not a fireable offense. It's similar to Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown has all these things surrounding him, but he was fired for texts, correct? Correct? Yeah, that group text. Now, I believe that instance, just that instance, I don't know what happened with the painter or the trainer friend. I don't know what happened behind all those closed doors. But the actual text I found despicable. I found threatening. I thought that was a fireable offense. See, that's the difference here. I'm just trying to judge it on the actual words, actions that got these guys fired. Well, in one case, one is fireable. In one case, in my opinion, you go in and you hear what you want to hear when you interpret it.
But here's the one thing where you have over a 5 to 6 decade sample size. He was never, not that I'm aware of, has ever been called a racist or a bigot. So I'm going to go with that. Plus the fact that Bobby Orr, who's like, you can't get a guy predicated on better character and integrity than number 4, Bobby Orr. If Bobby Orr says it's so, it's the gospel. Believe it. I don't need any further, friend or no friend. Like, if Bobby Orr said, like Bobby Orr saved Derek Sanderson's life, but he'll admit, like, Derek Sanderson was a raging alcoholic. Like, that's, you know, like, Bobby Orr says it to me, it means it's so. All right, we promise. Your phone call's on the other side.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Is Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
And I'm not going to wait. He says, wait a minute. How about running it for the people that buy them? Now, you go to the small cities, and you know those, the roads on roads, you people love, you that come here, whatever it is, you love our way of life, you love our milk and honey, at least you could pay a couple of bucks for poppies or something like that. These guys pay for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. These guys paid the biggest price. Anyhow, I'm going to run it again for you great people and good Canadians.
All right, that was Don Cherry. We're Mark and Hart on WEI. 617-779-7937. The end of an era. The guy who created basically Hockey Night in Canada, Hockey Night in America, Hockey Night everywhere. Don Cherry, former Bruins coach. The guy who has done it. And 38 years, but really, he's been in the game forever, over half a century. And the cancel culture society that we live in is unfortunately the ruination of many a great man, including this time with Don Cherry. Let's go back to the phones, actually, because we promised this. So we're going to go to Brad in New York. What's up, Brad?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good.
So I just wanted to point out the hypocrisy of the social justice warrior movement, because the same people that are outraged about Don Cherry criticizing, you know, ungrateful immigrants and vis-a-vis, by extension, most likely Muslims, are dead silent when LeBron James is basically supporting the Chinese government, who's standing by, well, murdering tens of thousands of Muslims, like up in Mongolia. It's completely hypocritical,
of course.
It's whatever advances the political agenda and silences the voice of the opposition. And Bobby Orr was dead right. And one more
absolutely
thing, Epstein didn't kill himself.
Well, I felt as though, I remember you and I, Andy, were on the air when that news came across, and you asked me, you know, do you think, and I'm like, there's no way he killed himself.
Right. And I don't think too many people thought he did.
No. So there was an article in this magazine. It was about the National Review. So it talks about how what's going on in terms of, you know, this whole situation and why the social justice warriors are actually doing more harm than good. And I'm just going to quote this. And it said, you know, why is the majority staying silent for fear of a tiny subgroup whose only weapon is a handful of hack words? Quote, I understand the fear. I understand why a person might be afraid to speak freely, knowing that a spurious accusation of racism or sexism could easily result. I also understand why the easiest response to this sort of accusation would be to simply shut up or maybe apologize, regardless of whether you actually have anything to be sorry for. The PC mob rarely stops at calling someone, quote, offensive. No, it wants anyone associated with anything it deems offensive to be cast out of the public square. It wants offensive people to be forbidden to speak on college campuses and to even be employed. It's basically what it's come down to. It's a cultural censorship of society, and you're seeing it. And you know, Bobby Orr sort of touched upon it, and he did it in a way that was sort of, you know, like he was joking, like freedom of speech. But he's right that freedom of speech doesn't exist as we've known it, as we knew it in the First Amendment. It's gone. It is gone. We are all, you know, walking on eggshells, and that's something it's tough to do, especially when you make a living in front of a live microphone.
Sure, and I take it in a different route than the last caller. I think so much of it is just purely financial. Follow the money. Don Cherry, if there were complaints that were going to cost them money, you're out. Just like LeBron James, if it wasn't going to cost him money, I think he'd have very different comments and opinions on China and aspects of our political culture. But they all make decisions based on the bottom line, just like you and I have to, right?
Yep.
Right? You make decisions. You need a job. Now, Bobby Orr doesn't need anybody.
Nope.
Bobby Orr doesn't need a job. Quite frankly, Don Cherry doesn't need a job, doesn't need anybody. He's had a long, successful career. He's well past the age where most retire and just enjoy life and live off the, you know, labor they put in leading up to that point. But it's all about money. Whether you want to talk about Colin Kaepernick and the NFL, is he good enough to play in the National Football League? Yes. Is it a good business decision to employ him? I think most people are saying, no, it's not worth it. He's not good enough to overcome the upset fans or the boycotts or the lack of jersey sales. If he were, they would do it just like Nike did. I laughed at that when people said the Nike campaign was going to cost them. No, it wasn't, because the urban culture, the young society that supports many of, right?
Yeah.
Like, so they're all financial decisions, in my opinion. I think that's where we get even hell. You know, some of the stuff we're talking about, you know, somebody texted in criticizing me for talking about soldiers and fallen soldiers and the freedoms we have and all that. I'm not naive. I think there are plenty of wars that are fought for financial reasons, oil and finances. So much of almost everything we deal with in this world that is passed off as a moral commentary or a social this or a cultural that, you can find much more simple roots. It's not black, it's not white, it's green. Follow the green and you generally will get your answers, or you can generally predict how things are going to play out.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Colin Kaepernick. I'd like to get to that on the other side as well. Listen, we're going to have a smorgasbord of things for you guys to get to. We're going to take your phone calls. The Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph brawl. Do you feel as though that Myles Garrett should be arrested? Did the NFL get it right? Did the NFL get it right? I will say yes. The NFL did get it right this time. They did, and they got it right swiftly within 14 hours of that ugly incident taking place. Also, the Don Cherry incident and how much the social justice warrior culture on social media is certainly killing society and certainly freedom of speech. We'll get to that. And Colin Kaepernick today in Atlanta in front of 11 scouts. I don't think any
coach... It's up to 25 people there.
25 different organizations?
Yes.
25 teams.
Yep. 25 teams is the report.
Okay, 25, including the New England Patriots.
Yep.
So, let me throw this out there. Would you be interested with the bleep storm that would come to Foxborough of Colin Kaepernick possibly being a backup to Tom Brady, because the Patriots will be in attendance today in Atlanta. We'll get to all that and more. 617-779-7937 on Mark and Hart.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.